Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is Reverend Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. You can worship at the hour of 8 a.m. or 11 a.m. at the Brooklyn West Campus, or you can worship at the hour of 10 a.m. at the Brooklyn Northeast Campus, located at 1203 Summit Parkway, where the campus pastor is the Reverend Dr. Chris Levy Johnson. For more information and or directions, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. Brooklyn consists of over 60 ministries to serve you and your family. Come by and have a Brooklyn experience. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 072218, an identity crisis, coming from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 30. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
The truth is, there are assemblies and fellowships of the faith which would rather not be referred to as church. For some reason, they no longer include, some have even dropped the name church from its naming. They have somehow found a way to theologically justify not including the name church as his operations of God's ministry of word and work. And this sermon is not to talk about whether it's right or whether it's wrong, but it is to suggest to us that we are facing an identity crisis. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 16, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I have to raise the question, what's wrong with the church? The name church, but we are caught in an identity crisis. Hymns for him. The church began singing hymns according to the African-American /black tradition somewhere around 1883. Do the math. That's 135 years of what I would think has been a great tradition in the Christian faith. Who would not want to hear "Oh, to be kept" by Jesus? Kept by the power of God. One of the great hymns of the church. I preached about it on the first Sunday, celebrating and continuing the tradition having begun by the children of Israel, God's chosen people, when they worship at the temple in Jerusalem. They sang hymns that there might be a clear understanding and emphasis that hymns are for him. I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong, but now there is little care for having hymns sung in the church. I tell you, we are facing an identity crisis. And I could very well be in error, and God forgive me if I am. I know that we are challenged to serve this present age. That's our calling to fulfill. But it seems as if many of our church experiences are becoming entertainment. A lot of performance going on in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm concerned about the authenticity, particularly in light of the fact that caught in this identity crisis is not making our morals any better. Our children are not faring any better. Our schools are not faring any better. So we are caught between this tradition, which is being denounced and repudiated, and a new culture in the church. Yet conditions are not getting any better. We are facing a crisis. Now, a crisis is a turning point. And as I have looked at this turning point, I've gone back as far as I have been able to go, and I have inquired of some persons who can go back farther than I have am able to go, and the last major turning point of the church was in the 40s and the 50s, when the church fought and struggled. Many of them gave their sweat and they bled and they died for the rights of who we are as African Americans. That was one of the great turning points of the church. But that church was rooted in the mission of the church as given in the Bible, where it says, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Like the commission that was given to Jesus when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to set at liberty the captives and recover sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was predicated on the Holy Bible. This crisis, this turning point in the church now, deals with a new culture, a culture that is engrossed with information technology. We're in the age of social media now, and because we're in the age of social media now, and everything is convenient for us, we don't even enter the gates with thanksgiving. We don't enter into his courts with praise. Like the 100th Psalm says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he's God. He's he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter. So in this new era of the church, we don't enter anymore. In all of my travels, every convention I've attended, every Congress, every conference, we've been addressing this succeeding generation and this age of social media and information technology. How can the church remain relevant and hold fast to integrity of God's word? All I'm trying to say, I'm not saying what's right and what's wrong, but I'm saying to you that the church is at a turning point. We are not so sure now who we are. Our mission is being redefined. And it appears that we are drifting from the great truths of God's word. And I've said it before and I'll keep on saying it. The farther we drift away from God's word, the more disastrous are our consequences. We're facing an identity crisis. And that concerns me, because the church means a great deal to me. The church has been the power whereupon in the past I've been able to come and be uplifted and be inspired. I can let God use the talents and gifts that he's given me. And as God has shown favor to me, I've been able to reach out and help so many others. And you've been able to reach out and help so many mothers, because we understand the mission of the church, the character of the church, a church that reflects Jesus Christ, a church that says whatever Jesus was about is what we ought to be about. So as I've struggled with the church back in the first part of December, teaching on the 37 miracles of Jesus, I taught that 13th miracle from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, which has a collaborative chapter in the 5th chapter of Mark. And there's a story about a man who didn't know who he was. A man who had an identity crisis. He was not so sure he was. He himself was being defined not from without, but from within. He didn't know who he was. The record is that Jesus had been with his disciples and teaching and preaching and healing and comforting. And then he said to disciples, let us get into a boat and go to the other side. And they got onto the boat, and the Bible says that all of a sudden, in the midst of their travels across the sea, that a storm came about, and the winds became boisterous, and the waves began to dash against that boat on which they were sailing. And the disciples were afraid, and they went and told Jesus, woke him up, said, Jesus, we're about to die in this storm. And Jesus got up, and he said, peace be still, and the storm calmed down. And then the Bible says, upon arriving to the land of Gadara, here came a man. Are y'all praying now? This man came running and he fell down at the feet of Jesus. He did not know who he was. Let's picture me in our minds, if you don't mind. Let's picture this man as he comes to Jesus Christ. As he got to Jesus, and you look at this man, there was something wrong with him. He did not know who he was, and he was facing a major turning point in his life. In fact, if Jesus had not stood firmly, the disciples, no doubt in fear and panic, would have run and got back on the boat. Because when you look at this man, you know something is wrong with him. He has broken chains on his wrists and his ankles. His hair is wild and disheveled. He is unshaven. He has marks across his body because he had taken sharp stones and cut his body up. Blood was oozing out from the marks made across his body. And in some instances, the blood had coagulated on the surface of his broken skin and had caused there to be blood clots. Something is wrong with this man. You don't have to talk to this man. You can tell he has lost his identity. You understand right away upon seeing him that he does not know who he is. He's naked. All of his clothes have been ripped and stripped from him. And he smells perhaps with the stench of a peculiar odor because he doesn't know who he is. Caught up with an identity crisis. Something was happening in his life. There he was. Upon seeing Jesus, he came running and hollering. He was crying and he fell down at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. Let me say something about the identity crisis, because that which brought corrective measures to this man, the church needs to be reminded of it today. And maybe this is why the Lord has me preaching in July like he is, to serve a reminder of some things to us. Look at this man. He doesn't know who he is. He's loosely associated in his thought processes. He's confused. He's disoriented. But when he saw Jesus, watch this now. Something within him said to him, that's Jesus. And so the first thing that the Lord has said that I say to the church is we need to draw nearer to Jesus. I'm not talking about denominations here, and I'm not talking about church membership here. I'm not talking about whatever the name of your church is. God said that the universal church, the body of Christ, needs to draw nearer to Jesus. And so as we deal with the identity crisis of the church, the Lord says, get closer to Jesus. Look at this man. He didn't know who he was, but something within him, deep within where the eye cannot see, said to him, that's Jesus. And if there's going to be clarity on my identity, I need to make my way to Jesus. I need to get to Jesus. Confused. Disoriented. But something said to him, I better get to Jesus. That's a lot more than we can say about some of us. The so well informed, the intelligent, the educated. We better learn to draw nearer to Jesus.
We've gotten to the place now, we'll try everything. We go everywhere because of our brilliance and our knowledge. We figure we can work it out ourselves. We can figure it ourselves. And so we put Jesus on the back burner and think of Jesus only when we've gotten to the point where we can't do anything else. Then we call on Jesus. But this man says, as soon as he saw Jesus, if I'm going to have corrective measures taken into my life, if I'm going to put my life in perspective, I better get to Jesus. Parents, we better get to Jesus. In our homes and our families, we better get to Jesus. I'm not talking one or the other. I'm talking about both persons got to get more Jesus. Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is still the difference maker. Not only will he make the difference in your life, he is the difference. Can I get a witness in here who can testify that yes, I've been blessed with academic performance and educational excellence. Yes, I've been blessed with a little finances. But let me tell you something. I've had some experiences in my life where if it had not been for the Lord Jesus Christ, I would not be here where I am. And so when you see me praising God, I'm not praising God because of what I have. I'm praising God because of who he is and what he's done for me and from where he has brought me. That's why I'm praising God. I ain't praising God because the house I live in. I ain't praising God because the automobile. I'm praising God because when I was down, he picked me up. When I was weak, he gave me strength. When I didn't know where I was, he showed me the way. It's all about Jesus. Church needs to draw nearer to Jesus. This man was facing a crisis. He didn't know who he was, but he rushed. He went running to Jesus. Now, the second insight from this text that I gleaned during Bible study in December was that Jesus is waiting for us. The omniscient God that he is, knowing all things, Jesus was waiting for this man. Now, how do I know that? Because the Bible says, when this man came and fell down at the feet of Jesus, Jesus looked at him, and Jesus asked him a question, young people. Now, Jesus could have asked him, why are you hollering and crying and acting so crazy, out of control like you are? But Jesus did not ask him that. He would have shown sympathy as the Savior had he asked him, hey man, how did you get all cut up like you are? There he was, marks all over his body, blood coming out from some of those cuts and blood clots where some of the blood had coagulated on the surface of his broken skin. Man, how did you get cut up like that? Jesus did not ask him that. Jesus could have asked him, what happened to your clothes? After all, he was the only one naked out there. That would have been a good question. Would not it have been a good question? What happened to your clothes? But Jesus did not ask him that. Jesus looked at that man and he asked him, what is your name? He did not have reference to the name perhaps on the driver's license, name that we sign applications with, the name that you were given at birth, that's on your birth certificate. He wanted that man to look at himself and realize the name that he's now making of himself as he struggles with his identity. And so he's saying to this man, in essence, when he says, what is your name, in that verse 30 of that 8th chapter, he's what he's saying to this man. He said, do you know who you are? know who you are. And I think that as the church struggles with the identity crisis, that's what Jesus is asking us today. He's asking preachers throughout this world, do you know who you are? Do you know who you represent? Do you know who you are, the spokesperson? Do you know who you are? He's asking preachers, do you know who you are? And just thinking about that, and I pray that when we begin Bible study on the continual miracles of Jesus in September, that more persons will join us for this study, because this one messed with me. Because when I heard Jesus asking who you are, what is your name, I looked at myself. Am I representing the Lord Jesus Christ like he would want me to represent him? Is he satisfied with what I'm trying to do? Is he pleased with my feeble efforts that I'm trying to put forth in the name of Jesus? Charles B. Jackson, Sr., do you know who you are? What is your name? Deacons, we would do well to ask ourselves, what is my name? What kind of name am I making for myself? Am I representing the high call of deacon's ministry that has been served upon me, that has been given to me in the word of God? Do I know who I am? Deaconesses, trustees, do you know who you are? Auxiliary presidents, committee chairpersons, members who are working for the Lord, do you know who you are? The world is looking upon us. And they are seeing a schizophrenia in us. They're seeing our art and they're seeing our ears. And they're saying there's something wrong with who we are. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. What they're saying to us is, you don't look like your picture says you're supposed to look.
Some time ago, my grandchildren and I were looking at some of our pictures in yearbooks from way back yonder. And y'all don't know it. I used to wear an afro. It was about 6 feet high. So I don't know why. I kept it trim though.
And so my little grandson Carter said to me, said, Papa, is that you?
I said, yeah, that's me.
He said, well, that doesn't look like you. And then I thought about that in a kind of church comparison. And I said to myself, that's what the world is saying about a whole lot of us in the church. They have a picture of us that is given in the Holy Bible. And then they see us as we actually are. And they see us acting like we are acting. And they're saying to us, you don't look like your picture. We're facing an identity crisis. So I come to tell you that Jesus is waiting for us. I don't know why God has me to preach every Sunday in July, but he may be wanting to remind us that he's waiting for us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will come unto me and open the door, I'll sup with him and he can sup with me. Jesus is waiting.
I want you to notice something else in this story that I got out of Bible study. When Jesus called those spirits, and see, he said, my name is Legion, and that means, their name Legion means many devils. Can I ask this question? How many devils might be in you that's keeping you from being whom God has purposed you to be? This man was honest. This man said, I got a lot of devils in me.
But he went to the right source, Jesus. Jesus was waiting on him. And so Jesus called the devils out of him. Let me tell you something. I don't care what's going on in your life. Jesus can fix it. I don't care what the problem is. Jesus can correct it. The elders used to sing a song, Jesus will fix it. Y'all, for you, whenever you pray, just let him have his way. Jesus will fix it for you. So whatever the devils are, Jesus can call a devil. You got to understand, the devil ain't no match for God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we've got God in us. So Jesus called the devils out of that man. And all of a sudden he came to know who he was. He apparently borrowed a robe from somebody. And so one of the first things he did, he put some clothes around his naked body. And then he said, Jesus, you have come here and you have healed me. And I see that you've got your disciples along with you. And Jesus, I want to become one of your disciples. Now, if we're going to deal with this identity, we've got to become a disciple of the Lord. Watch this now. Not a member of the church of the Lord, but a disciple for the Lord. Look at this man who had been disoriented and confused how he made his way to Jesus. Look at this man. As soon as Jesus called the devils out of this man said, I got to do something for Jesus. So he said, Jesus, you come here, you have healed me. And I want to become a disciple. I want to follow you wherever you go. See, I don't understand people who say they love the Lord, but then they won't get up and do anything for the Lord. When you really say you love somebody, there ain't much that you won't try to do for them. Because you love them and you want them to know that you love them. So when you really love somebody, whatever you can do, you're going to try to do that for the good of that somebody. So if you say you love the Lord, you just got to do something. I don't understand somebody who says, I have met the Lord, but then act like they don't want anybody else to meet him. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you spoke to somebody about Jesus Christ? Next Sunday, I'm going to try to preach about for all who want to go to heaven. Are we going to take an opportunity to try and invite somebody to hear this word that God has given me about going to heaven? When was the last time that you took opportunity to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell somebody what Jesus has done in your life? Because the bottom line is, nowadays, people don't care about what church you go to or what denomination you belong to. People want to know what the Lord has done for you, where the Lord has brought you from, how the Lord picked you up when you were down, how the Lord made a way for you, because they need a way to be made.
Yes, sir. That's the truth.
People want to hear your story. And that's what Jesus said to this man. Jesus says, no, I don't want you to come with me. I already have 12 disciples who are following me physically. But what I want you to do, I want you to go back home. Go back home to your wife and your children. Go back home to that same town where they used to call you the old crazy man. Go back home to that community where you used to live in the cemetery. Go back home and tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. Go home and tell somebody how the Lord brought forth an end to the identity crisis that you have. Go back home and tell somebody how the Lord pulled out of you the evil spirits and you're no longer like you once were. Go back home and tell somebody who I am. And I think that's what the Lord wants us to do more of. And why the Lord has given me these sermons for July. Because the Lord wants us to become more zealous, more excited, more enthused about telling somebody about Jesus. And so the Lord told me to tell you, all who receive this word, you tell somebody about Jesus. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 07221807221807. 8218. An identity crisis. Give us a call, 803-796-6103. That's 803-796-6103. It's the number. Call people's call the Maple Gazette Library. Get the entire month of July so that you can truly be blessed with the Word of God. 803-796-6103 to the number to call. We thank you for all your support. We pray that you have a blessed and prosperous week in the Lord.